KAYT. Praising the Lord. You're listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
Six. And those who have been coming, you know that we've been preaching a series on the redemptive names of God. We begin talking about how God is exalted, and we move to God being exalted to how he is Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. And we move from him being Jehovah Shammah to him being Jehovah Jireh, who is the Lord our provider. And we move from Jehovah Jireh to him being Jehovah Rophi, or Jehovah Rapha, or lastly, Jehovah Rafika, which all means that he is our healer. Which brings us today, amen, to as we analyze the book of Judges, to where God is our shalom, or he is our peace, amen. How many know that we need God to be there for us? Anybody ever been in a situation where you needed God to be right there, right then? Amen. And whether we felt it or not, we need to know that God is omnipresent, meaning that he's everywhere at the same time. David said it like this, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Amen. No matter where we go, amen, God is there. Now, we don't want to end up in hell. Somebody say amen. But we do understand that God is yet there. He's everywhere at the same time. He's in the point of our need. Amen. He's in the point of our joy. God is there. And not only is he there, he is a provider. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, my God is a provider. In fact, when we look at that text in Genesis, amen, concerning Abraham and Isaac, I believe God already had a ram in the bush, amen. Before they even got to the mountain, God already had the provision there. I want to decree to you this morning that your provision is already there. We may not be able to see it in the natural, but it's already there, amen. Because he is, not is going to be, not will be, but he is Jehovah Jireh. Amen. So we know that he is our provider. Amen. Concerning healing, I've been believing God concerning, amen, Jacqueline's healing. Who's believing God with me? Amen. That by his stripes she is healed. No matter what we see, we decree and declare the word that Jacqueline is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. That's moved up my priority list. Amen, somebody. But not only Jacqueline, but all of us. Amen. Are healed. Glory to God. Amen. I believe we said enough. It'll start working today. Amen, somebody. He is our healer. Amen. Not only is he our healer, he is healing. Amen, somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Which moves us into today with him being our peace. How many know peace is important? We can't make good decisions without peace. We can't have good relationships without peace. We have to have peace. Amen. So we thank God today in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Philippi. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want you to know that one of the reasons, revelatory-wise, that Paul is able to say rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice, is because rejoicing helps to keep us not focusing on our problems. How many know it's hard to focus on your problem and rejoice? Amen. Because many times the problem will take the joy right away from us. Amen. If I go to focusing on my problems too much, I can't have joy. Amen. But in the midst of the situation, if I just say, Lord, I rejoice in you. Amen. God begins to become magnified bigger than the problem. He He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation, that means gentleness or meekness. Let it be known unto all men. It's easy to be meek when our trust is in the Lord. The Lord is at hand. Verse number 6 says, be careful or don't be anxious or don't worry about anything. Amen. How many ever been anxious before? Anybody ever rode the worry horse? Amen. All the way down the street. Amen, somebody. Glory to God. Amen. Often tempted to worry. But the text says here, be careful or don't be anxious or don't be worried or overly concerned about anything. But here's the key. But in everything, tell somebody everything. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't worry about anything. But in everything, pray and ask God. That's the challenge. A lot of times we switch those two. We worry about everything and pray about some things. Now, see, I didn't say didn't pray about nothing because I know y'all pray. Amen. But many times we can put our act of worrying over praying. How many know worrying gets no results? Only thing worrying causes stress and anxiety and ulcers and things of that nature. But when we pray, we get God involved. Amen, somebody. So the Apostle Paul, he understood. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. We have to have that prayer life. We was talking in the Sunday school this morning concerning the lesson, how when we start off our day in prayer, it helps us not to be consumed with the world's culture. How many know there's a kingdom culture and there's a culture in the world? But it's easy for us to become assimilated, I use Gilliday's word, assimilated into the world's culture when we're not strong in the kingdom culture of prayer. He says, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request. How many know that means God wants you to ask him? Amen, somebody. He wants you to put your request in. Yes. How many know that person you call on the phone really can't help you? That's right. What do you mean, preacher? In other words, many times we like to call and just say, oh, how bad it is. Amen. And at the end of the day, nothing changed. You just got to tell somebody how bad it was. But if you put your attention towards God and give him your request, God, I'm asking that you move, you won't have nothing to say to nobody else. Y'all ain't talking to me. Amen, somebody. When we tell God about it, he's the only one that can do something about it anyway. Amen. He said, put your petition in. Let me know your request. And then he says, then the peace of God. See, that's how it works. Problem, petition, peace. Everybody say problem, petition, peace. If there's a problem, you give your petition to God, he exchanges it for peace. But if we have problem, worry, and they say telephone, you understand, not a young people, text, amen, somebody. But it's the same thing. You can worry in the text just like you can, amen, by phone, amen, somebody. But when we take the petition to God, he exchanges it for peace. And the peace of God, which passes, I like this, all understanding. How is the peace of God to pass all understanding? Listen, there are some times when we can't work things out in our mind. No matter how hard we try, we can try to work it out in our mind. And all it equals out to is, God, I don't know what to do. But when he gets the petition, and then you know he heard you, you get peace, and now you can wait on his resolution. Because he's waiting to solve the problem anyway. Why? Because he's Jehovah Shalom. He is the God of our peace. If there's chaos in our life, we have to begin to call on Jehovah Shalom. God, you are my peace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, I like this, shall keep your hearts. Guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. I want you to know that peace is protection. Many times we don't understand. See, when we got peace, no matter what's happening, we can't be moved. But when there's no peace and situations come, we move in here and there, we're impulsive, we're getting all out of character. Why? Because there's no peace. But peace will guard our hearts, and it also guard our minds. It'll cause us to make right decisions. Anybody ever made a wrong decision at a wrong time? Now, you can make a right decision at a wrong time, but a wrong decision at a wrong time equals wrong results. And sometimes we can pay for these results 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road just because we've made a decision outside of the peace of God. He says, I am your peace. I'm Jehovah Shalom. Let's find out. Judges chapter 6, verse 1 through 24. This is the first time that you see the term Jehovah Shalom in Scripture. And it's funny because we've been studying the book of Judges in Sunday school. So this chapter actually coincides. Judges chapter 6, verse 1 through 24. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. How many know that's the first problem? Amen. We have to keep our foot from evil. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. When I first looked at that, I said, that's so plain, Lord. Anytime we operate in evil, we can expect that there's going to be some type of punishment. Amen. I was talking to an individual, and they were telling me about something that how many of you have some things that are commonly accepted, but they're still against the law? Give y'all time to think about that. Amen. Common accepted things. In other words, they were telling me, man, I just couldn't pass up on this deal. And I say to myself, be careful. Well, actually, I said to him, be careful. Because this particular thing actually is a federal offense. But sometimes you can do things and not think about them, because everybody else is doing it. But I said, be careful, because that thing still can come back around to get you. Anytime evil is committed, it opens up a portal for Satan to begin to put his hand in your life. Because it didn't say that God himself judged Israel. But he said he delivered them over to the hand of the Midianites. So the Midianites were the one that did the punishment, but God allowed them to do it. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. I said to myself, man, it was so bad that they went and dug living quarters out of the rocks and mountains. You know it got rough then. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. I want you to look at verse 3. This intrigued me, because it said Israel had sown. So we know agriculturally that they were farming crops. But then it says the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of their earth. I said, it's funny. We can be sowing seed in one area, but because that's sin, it leaves the door open for another area, and Satan end up destroying our harvest. They're sowing seed. How many know you could be sowing seed but still having your harvest taken? Because the principle is right. If you sow, that's going to be a harvest. But what about the enemy taking your harvest? So number one, it behooves us to make sure that we're committed unto God. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know why the righteous is bold? Because they know I'm living for God. God, search me, like David said. If you find anything that's not like you, take it out, Lord. Because what? I want to be committed unto you. I want to make sure that my harvests are plentiful. And see, sometimes, even verbally, we have to bind the enemy and say, Satan, loose my harvest. especially when you know you're living right and you know you're walking in faith and there's no way for him to come in if he's still doing it.